You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, October 20th, episode 3800. Good morning, horse people.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Good to have you back, my friend.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Seems like it's been weeks.
It has. It's been 2 weeks.
Well, we have a fun show planned for Jamie's first day back. I thought I'd get one of your good friends on the show.
I'm so excited. I can't wait.
We have sculptor Jocelyn Russell on, and she's going to talk about her Cody's Wish statue dedication at the Kentucky Horse Park. And we begin a holiday season of recipes with auditor Claire and her pumpkin stew recipe. Plus, if we have time, so we're going to get to some equestrian first world problems. And then in the auditor post show, Charlie, the infamous Charlie's going to join us and tell us about her first horse trials on Taco Tuesday. And auditors will know what that's all about. Well, welcome back. It's so good to have you back. I've been following your pictures and your posts almost every day from your clinic the last 2 weeks. Looked like it went well.
It went really, really well. I was really happy to have, it was crazy. So I had 6 people taking the course. I had Sen from Central California, Heather from Maryland, Kelly from Sacramento, California, Rod was a 70-year-old gentleman from Ooliga, Oklahoma. I had to learn how to say that. I had Sandy from Colorado Springs. Yeah, him and his wife and their horses. Sandy from Colorado Springs. And then I had Ella all the way from Vienna, Austria, come to take the course, which was cool. Awesome. And then this week, so I did the whole 2-week-long course. The horses were amazing. It was wonderful. Horse and Hound provided most of the animals. And then Ace and Miles are doing their thing, man. They were great. The star of the whole thing was Groot. He was amazing. Craigslist Carl had to sub in because we had an injury. So I'll talk a little bit more about that, but it was fantastic. Really happy to have everybody. It's so much fun, you guys. Like, it's just such a fun couple of weeks and so much learning. So
anybody survive living together in the tiny house?
Only 2 people stayed in the tiny house. Okay. 2 people had an Airbnb. 1 guy had a hotel room. And then the lovely young lady from Austria stayed in our house because Anna's here as well. And they just speak German to each other. And they're very happy.
They're talking about you and you have no idea what they're saying.
No clue. Actually, I said to them, I was like, I know you guys are talking about me. And they're like, no, and I go, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Like, to the point where I don't care. You're 17. You're 20. I don't care.
Sorry. All right, let's do some daily winnies. Well, I gave you a happy birthday on Friday's show, but happy birthday again.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we also had some other auditors that have birthdays today or tomorrow. That's Kara Lamb, Janelle Rhodes, Kathleen O'Grady, and Diana Stuckey. Happy birthday to all of you as well. And a big congratulations to Kat, host of the Quarter Horse episode here on Horses in the Morning. She finished the Detroit Marathon yesterday. And
what?
I didn't even know she ran marathons, but there you go. And apparently it rained and it was windy the whole entire 26 miles. So
you know what does not sound appealing to me?
Any of that.
Running in Detroit for any distance. So congratulations.
Yeah, she posted pictures after she was done and she was completely drenched. So good for you, Kat. More power than all of us combined.
You go, girl. Baby Butters. Yes, I would like to thank all the people who filled in for me, Lisa, Ashley, and Kylie, for filling in while I was gone. And you guys are awesome. I got so much good feedback on the one-on-one interviews that I did with Tad Coffin and also with Nelda from Horse and Hound. Oh my gosh, you guys are like...
I haven't had as much feedback as we had about your Tad interview than any other show we've done, period.
Oh, I to be fair, I actually went and listened to it. Well, the first half, I couldn't get through me. I was like, oh, I sound so terrible. I hate myself. I was like, Glenn, can you put together just the audio of Tad and remove me from it? And then I'll listen to the whole thing.
Everybody, I said after you did it, and now everybody's agreed, and I didn't prompt them either, but I said after you did it that I thought it was the best interview you've ever done on the show.
Oh my gosh. Well, it was him.
Be fair, he did make it easier, right? We've all had tough interviews. We had a tough one on Friday. The guy was 92. It wasn't his fault, right? But yeah. But Tad just had... The stories were unbelievable.
It was awesome. Yeah. I take no credit for that.
But you got out of his way and let him go. Because he didn't go where you thought he was going to go, and you let him go there, and it was gold. It was gold.
I mean, my gosh. I hit that button and just hit record.
You know what was funny about those one-on-ones? And we're going to do more of those. And we had a great response. People seemed to like the fact that we were putting some extra effort in not doing best ofs, because a lot of people don't listen to the best ofs. But everybody listened to those. And I did one on Friday I took a risk on. It was my friend Tina, who is not a horse person and has nothing to do with horses. It was a friend from podcasting side, but she also produces audiobooks and went into how they make an audiobook, the details about that, and she's also a traveling nomad. She works around the world. So she went into how they do that logistically and everything, and I got nothing but good feedback about that one. So that made me feel better because I took a risk on doing that, and I thought, I just want to talk to her because I like her. You know, she's one of my podcast friends, and that went pretty well too. So thank you everybody for listening last week. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we'll do more of that. We'll try and do some of those maybe for the holidays over Christmas too. So your clinic.
Yeah.
Everything looked great. I mean, I assume everybody, do they get a pass or fail?
So no, they don't get a pass or fail. This is just a 2-week clinic. And basically we learn, I mean, it's like classroom work for a couple hours every morning and then training horses the rest of the day. And you learn kind of how horses communicate, how they think, all just A to Z horses. And it's just awesome to have. And I give everybody a book. It's like a 600-page manual. We only go through the first like 30-40 pages, and then you get to take that manual home with you. And then at some point you will come back to then take an exam. So what this course does is we work on, I mean, everything start to finish, from join up, balance lines, long lining, trailer loading, just in general. And we always do some extra stuff. Like we went to the track one night. We went to a wild animal park here in Oklahoma, which is, I'll tell you about Wednesday. But seriously, like it is start to finish, like nose to tail is basically what it is on horses. And you just learn how to listen and communicate, and also like kind of a lot of your energy and your body language. So it was really interesting. Like Rod, who is the 70-year-old gentleman that came out, just a delightful human, but I don't think he understood how intense his energy was around horses. So to be able to watch him in the 2 weeks, like I would do that again, but half speed. Okay, half that. Okay, half of that. Like those things too.
And to
like,
be fair, that's something I had to learn early on, because you know me, you know.
Oh yeah, and then there's another lady who was like, she just like, I'm like, be assertive, like go, like do something, be assertive, like go. And Kelly is an auditor of ours, and she came to the clinic, and I think it went great, and she was just a
Kelly had
human.
Something to say in the auditor room. Want to hear it? I just had an amazing 2 weeks taking the Monty Roberts introductory course with Jamie, but now I have to decide which of my two horses I'm going to practice join up with first. Seriously, if you have the opportunity to take this course, do it.
That's so nice. Yeah, she was super fun. And you know, you spend 2 weeks with people in this crash course of horsemanship, and you just leave best friends. So I have friends all over the world now. It's so fun. And then this week is an exam. So this is my first time ever hosting an exam, because typically, like, what I did was go to Monty's for the exam.
Do you have a ruler to smack their hands?
Oh, man, I am not kidding you.
You got your whip out.
Rachel from last year and Anna are both taking the exam. And I mean, right now they're both downstairs studying, because that's just,
I remember getting that book and doing the studying when you took the exam, and you didn't think you were going to make it through that book. That was the 600-page book just about killed Jamie the first time. I remember that.
It's so much. It's so much.
That's a lot for anybody.
Nobody helps you because nobody helped them. So it's like here's the book, go. And so it's a whole lot of information. What they call it is at Monty's, it's like the master's degree of horsemanship, because you're learning everything from bones and muscles and repro and parasites. And I mean, it is so thorough, just the horse.
Is the exam like taking your master's, where there's a written part and then an oral part, or?
Oh, dude. It's a thing. So there's 2 days of, I have 2 paper exams for the people to take.
And it's not multiple choice, is it?
Maybe 3, but it's mostly essay questions.
No, oh, those are the worst. I can guess a multiple choice.
But the cool thing is, there'll be like 5 essays and you can pick 3, because I could not get through the worm section. And I was like, I'm just going to fail the parasite section. But fortunately, I got to write about other things as opposed to the parasites. So you do get choices. And then they have to do an exam, practical exam, where they have to take a horse and do a full join up, which is the join up, the long lining, all the, and the tack. Everything is very specific. So it's a lot. And then the dually halter work. And so then this allows them to go to the advanced course. But I think they've now done some intermediate courses, which is going to help prepare you for the advanced. And so, and then there's no internship at the end. They're changing everything to make it more
accessible.
Just more thorough, because you get people like me who get a horse in training and I don't know what to do. So then I call Monty, like, Debbie, I need to talk to your dad.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will help prevent those questions. I think I was the catalyst, but whatever, it's fine.
Monty doesn't want 500 people calling him every day.
No. So it's awesome. So it was really, really great. I was really happy to have everybody and to see kind of how they all grew and expanded their horse knowledge. And then to host the, I'll let you know what happens with these 2 individuals that are here for the test.
Okay.
Because they're freaking out. They right. should be.
Cool. All right. We're going to head to our first guest, Jocelyn Russell, of course, a sculptor, and she's been a guest on the show many times, a good friend of Jamie's. And she's known for doing the best horse sculptures in the country.
I am so pleased to welcome back to the podcast one of my dear friends, Jocelyn Russell. And we're going to talk about the fact that she made everybody cry, like all the feelings.
Oh my gosh.
Hi, Jocelyn.
Yeah. Hey, good to talk to you and Glenn both this morning. It is early for me. It's pitch black here, but I set the alarm and I'm up and ready to go.
Well, thank you for doing that. You are the creator of Cody's Wish Monument. Of course, also Secretariat Monument, Sergeant Reckless Monument. You're like the premier sculptor now for all of the most amazing horse monuments that are happening all over the world. It's just so incredible. That did you ever think that you would become, I mean, I know you've done animals, but you're now like the horse lady.
Okay, well, listen, I'm going to be 65 here pretty soon. And I was really thinking I should be thinking about retirement. And suddenly everything is just beating down the door. Horses, let's go. Let's do more monuments. Let's do this one next. And yeah, I got plenty on the schedule now if you'd like to come help me sculpt.
You need an apprentice, yeah.
Well, we do. I've got 2 gals here on Salmon Island that are fabulous sculptors, and we are embarking on several monument projects together, including 399, which is a famous bear that died a year ago in the Jackson Hole area, and we are collaborating on that one. And so they're doing the 2, they're each doing 2 of her cubs, and I'm doing Big Mama Bear at 8 foot 8.5 foot tall. So I do have a couple of apprentices, but they're mostly friends, but we are working on the projects together. But there's always room for one more, Jamie. So, you know, it's only a 40-hour travel to get out here.
I'm in. I'm on the way. So that's the next one you have going. But let's talk a little bit about Cody's Wish. I'm not quite sure how did it start? Walk us through kind of the whole process of like how you got this gig.
Yeah. Okay. Well, of course, with Robin Hutton, who commissioned me to do Sergeant Reckless over 10 years ago, and she and I became best buddies. And then she got me the Secretariat Monuments projects. And we've just been working hand in hand on many things. So we had been on, Michael and I had been on the Triple Crown Tour with the 21-foot long Secretariat Monument on the flatbed in 2023 during the 50-year celebration of his terrific wins. And we were in Saratoga with the monument on display, and we got to meet Cody Dorman and his family. And as everybody knows, Cody had Wolf Hirschhorn syndrome, and it was quite an honor to meet them and discuss, you know, their journey. And Cody's Wish was racing that day. And so we sort of got indexed in, and my little Alice Margaret dog, who did not like children or wheelchairs, tried to literally crawl in Cody's lap. I've got terrific photos of her. It was very endearing, and it was just very much like what the horse must have been drawn to as well. So Cody just had something about him, and Alice couldn't get close enough to him. So we stayed in contact with the family. And then, of course, when we lost Cody November 5th, later that year, and then consequently my dog on the 27th of November, it all just sort of wrapped together. And I called Robin and I said, we've got to do a monument of Cody's Wish. And she got on the horn with Dan Pride at Godolphin, John Abell, and it was rolling. We got permission to sculpt them, and we had a 6-month window to complete the small maquette. And we came up with a design of the horse with his head and lowered as though it were in Cody's lap. But we decided not to sculpt Cody and leave his space open to others with disabilities and even those without disabilities that could reach under the chin of the horse and maybe feel that same bond and connection. So that was the design. And we did the dedication last Saturday, and it was phenomenal. It really was.
It was. And the videos that y'all posted the music choices, and then you unveil Cody's Wish, and then you bring up individuals in wheelchairs, which is the exact thing I know you were hoping for. And it just all came true at that exact moment. Oh my gosh. Like, it's just so emotional. Just even seeing the statues by it, the monument by itself, much less the kind of the completion of the whole idea, which is this somebody in a wheelchair getting to make a connection like Cody did. And it was just beautiful and just well done. Really, really. I mean, just incredible. It's just amazing.
Well, we were really excited once it did. You know, we had the dream, we had the vision, but we weren't really sure how it was going to come off. We decided to represent Cody and that connection with the horse on a life-size etching on a granite wall that the monument is actually staring at. And there's plenty of space in between the bronze and the granite wall, but it just ties everything together perfectly. And like I said, you know, we had some renderings done and they were great, but we just didn't know. And I don't know how long this program is, but I'll give you just a little backstory. The first person that was allowed to approach the monument after the unveiling, while the crowd was still circled around the monument and it was in complete reverence, was Carson Yost, who was a friend of Cody's. They had met at Breeders' Cup the weekend that Cody's Wish won the Dirt Mile, November 4th. And Carson was also in a wheelchair with Wolf Hirschhorn syndrome. And his mom and dad were there at the races. And so turns out they live just a few hours south of me on San Juan Island in Washington State. And they made the trek up to our workshop while the horse was still in clay. And Carson put his thumbprint in a little piece of clay that I later incorporated into the monument. And everybody probably knows by now that Cody's Wish had the prophet's thumbprint on his neck already, which is just an indentation that's of, you know, indicating legend of loyal marriage to the prophet Muhammad. And we incorporated Carson's thumbprint within the thumbprint on the monument. And then the Dorman family signed the neck just next to that thumbprint. So Carson was allowed to approach with his family and be the first one to sit underneath the nose of the horse. And I have some fabulous photos of him just gazing up into the eyes of the horse. And his condition affected his brain. And while Cody Dorman could communicate through his tablet, Carson is not able to. And when he actually visited the monument, he raised his arm to touch the horse's nose, which his mother and father said he never does that. So that was really, talk about coming full circle with the story. It was phenomenal.
Absolutely. We had a listener who attended named Clark, and he said that his post was attended Cody's Wish dedication and saw Secretariat and Sergeant Reckless, met Jocelyn, and then this lady came up in her wheelchair, exactly what the statue was made for. And I just know it was a super emotional time. And I'm just so pleased that you were able to make it happen. I can't wait to go in April. I go to the Kentucky Horse Park. So tell everybody where they can see it. And are there like, and I mean, because I know it's on the wall, Cody's plaque is on the wall. Is this something that just everybody has access to?
Yes, it is over by the Hall of Champions, which ironically, there's a possibility when Cody's Wish does retire, he could literally be standing in the paddock. Adjacent to the monument.
How cool would that be?
It is so cool. But you know, this is just, gosh, I'm sure that's something I shouldn't put out in national radio.
Well, you said it's a possibility. You didn't say it was a guarantee.
It's a possibility. There's been discussions, but yeah, it is accessible to everybody. And actually the trolley ride goes right by it, which I think is phenomenal because they have wonderful trolley rides there every day that the park's open, I believe. And while we were doing the installation of these horses and, you know, well, not the installation, but we were preparing the site and we were doing visits there, the trolleys were going by. And Robin and I just thought this could not be a better place. The horse park was phenomenal to work with. Lee Carter there led the charge and awarded us this beautiful setting in the grass and the trees. And it's wonderful. It really is.
Well, that's awesome. So where can people go to learn more about your sculptures and your monuments and see all the things you're working on?
Well, honestly, I'm ashamed to say I have not updated my website for several years. This is crazy. I have plenty of work. And so, you know, people are saying, would you like to advertise in our magazine? I'm like, no, I don't want any more work. I have plenty of work right now. But
trying to retire something,
I don't know. I'm just getting busier. But my Facebook page exploded when we did the Secretariat Monument Tour. And so basically people are going there, and it's the best synopsis of what's actually happening at the moment. And that is my name, Jocelyn Russell. And it's Secretariat Monuments, which I need to update that too, because Grizzly 399 is going to be on there next. But I had 2.6 million views in the last 28 days or something. So that page is really getting a lot of activity. And so I think that's the best place for people to go. Otherwise, my name, JocelynRussell.com. You can see some of my old work on my website.
It's hard. You need more people now that you're so busy.
I do.
You need staff.
I do. And one of my apprentices is corporate, and that's what she does is websites. And I said, Colleen, can you help me out here? But she's so busy now, I can't get her to find the time either. So I don't know. I'll see if my husband can do it. Maybe
get Michael to work. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, come on.
As always, it's delightful having you on, and I'm so excited for you and congratulations on such a beautiful thing coming to life, and you dreamt it up and you made it happen. And I just love that.
Well, thank you. It was a dream. I've got a couple of nephews that we lost to muscular dystrophy. And so the whole wheelchair accessibility was pretty prominent on this project all the way through. And it's a dream. And to see people enjoy it when they can't really touch monuments, it always says, keep your hands off. This one, you can actually wheel underneath the belly of the horse. It's on beautiful flat concrete, and the plaza is just stunning, all the plaques and everything. So looking forward to getting your feedback when you get there.
Oh, thank you so much.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, next up, we're going to be starting some recipes as we always do over the holidays. And I asked the auditor group who had a recipe for this time of year, for the fall and for Halloween and all of that. And Auditor Claire jumped in. She's from Ohio. And she came with this recipe that sounds very fall and very Halloween. And it's pumpkin stew. Hey, Claire.
Hi.
Thank you so much.
Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And thank you for volunteering to do this. So, Claire, pumpkin stew is not anything I've ever heard of. So
this I've never seen anything like this in my entire life.
And she sent a picture, and it's actually stew in a pumpkin, which is not what I was picturing, actually. So Claire, tell us about this. Where did you come up with this recipe?
So this is something that my mom made every year, and I think that her parents made it for her growing up in the fall. So, but even then, all my friends would look at me weird when we talked about pumpkin stew. So I think it's just an our family thing, but I am very happy to share it. It is quintessential fall growing up, lots of nostalgia.
Well, I will tell
more
you,
more of a stuffed pumpkin and less of a soup.
Yeah. I looked up pumpkin stew and I didn't get anything like yours. So I think it is truly unique for sure. So tell us what's in it. What are the ingredients in pumpkin stew?
Well, it's great that it's really, really flexible. I'll share what I usually put in the pumpkin, but even growing up, my mom would really vary the stuffing. So what I usually put in the pumpkin is a mixture of beef and beans and vegetables like mushrooms and other mixed vegetables like that. But you can have meat and rice. You can have any kind of meat you want. Sometimes you can just make it vegetarian, just rice and beans and vegetables. I think quinoa would be really, really yummy in this. You can just kind of throw in what you want.
So when my mom would make not in the pumpkin, but when my mom would make a version of this, she called it goulash. I don't know. I think goulash is actually something else, but that's what she called it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. I mean, to be fair, Claire, I love you. I mean, this is fantastic. It looks like somebody vomited in a pumpkin. So walk us through how to do this. I'm not worried about what's in it. Like, how do you make this pumpkin thing?
Okay. Well, you want to start with a pumpkin, make sure that it's clean and not doesn't have any dirt on the outside. Big thing, and my mom made this mistake one year, choose a pumpkin that fits in your oven. She accidentally chose one that was too big, and that was an interesting time. So usually I stick with one that's like 10 to 12 inches tall. Cut the top off, get all the guts out, just like you would for a jack-o'-lantern. Then I lightly sprinkle the inside with salt, and I put the whole pumpkin in a pan, just something with sides, because the pumpkin will have some juices and you don't want anything to kind of spill out. And you put it in a 375-degree oven, and that will start to cook. And while that's cooking, you put together your filling. So you let the pumpkin cook for 20 to 30 minutes while you're getting your meat and beans and mushrooms, different things. Saute your onion and put in some garlic. I like to say measure with your soul, because no recipe ever puts enough garlic in it. I like to times it by four. We love garlic. And the seasonings that I love to do, especially with this that really seems fall and really comforting, it's parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. And it's just very aromatic and lovely. And so just cook all your filling up. And then when your pumpkin is mostly done, you can kind of stick a fork into the flesh, but it's not really easy to go through. Then you're just going to spoon your filling in your pumpkin and then pop the pumpkin back in the still hot oven and let it finish cooking for another about 20 minutes. Then when you take it out and it's done, you've got your cool cooked pumpkin, and you can take the little top off, and then you just spoon out a spoon of the middle, and then you put the spoon back in and you scrape the side, and so you get some of the pumpkin flesh, and it's just one pumpkin meal. And you have a little bit of everything all in one dish.
So you do eat the pumpkin. I was wondering about that, because yes, I was wondering why you cooked it in the pumpkin. But you do eat the pumpkin too with it.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So it was always this fun thing that you kind of scrape the inside of the pumpkin to get some out. And then I usually like to put some butter on top of mine. And
am I the only one that's never eaten pumpkin except in a pie? I think I have never eaten the flesh of a pumpkin like you're talking about. I have never done it. I've always had it in a pie. But
I'm gonna join you in that, because
you're missing out. I like it.
I've never really eaten pumpkin.
I wouldn't even know what it tastes like. Does it taste like pumpkin pie?
Without all the sugar and spice, but it's.
I'm more captivated by the. You guys can see this.
I'm gonna put it in the show notes. The picture.
Picture in the show notes. Just a picture of the podcast. Actually, just a little. It is this. I mean, it's beautiful. It's so pretty. It looks so delicious. You know what? Yesterday was my birthday, and I'm a little hungover, and I'm not going to lie. This is a little tough for me to look at.
If we should have done
just
this on
imagine
Wednesday,
it filled with some fluffy rice and mushrooms and green onions. You could put whatever you want in.
You add rice to this, and it looks like the stuff my mom used to put in stuffed peppers.
Yeah.
It kind of looks
just
the same.
The pumpkin is just a different vessel.
I am 100% on board that I'm sure this is delicious. And I love that it affects your soul and gives you nostalgia in the holiday season. I'm going to try it. I want to do this. So with the beef and all that stuff, I'm not going to put them. But you cook everything.
You could do this without the beef and it would be the same pretty much.
Yeah. But you cook the rice and everything before you stuff the pumpkin. Everything is cooked and then you just put it in there so it marinates with the pumpkin.
Yeah. Just so it kind of gets. Yeah. And the filling doesn't really get the flavor of the pumpkin. It's the pumpkin that absorbs the flavor of the filling more.
Interesting.
Okay. If Jamie. You're in a big hurry, you can just be like, yay, they're both cooked, put them together, serve it. You don't have to cook them together for longer, as long as they're both cooked through. But it does taste a little better if you do that step, but it is optional.
Do you know how many people are yelling at us right now, Jamie, that we haven't eaten the flesh of a pumpkin other than pie? Do you know how many people are yelling at us right now?
I've had butternut squash, kind of the same thing, I've cubed that, but I've never been wow. And I always roast the pumpkin seeds when we make jack-o'-lanterns because I love pumpkin seeds, but I've never been I want to scoop this off the wall. Let's mow it down. No, never. So again, I'm thrilled to have a new item to try, and I'm going to make that when I'm a little more recovered from my birthday.
Claire, I love that you brought us something that neither one of us had ever heard of before or ever tried, actually.
Well, I'm glad to share. This is just all fall memories growing up, and my husband likes it. I have one son that likes it, and the other, it's yay, you tried two bites, here are your chicken nuggets. So
there's always one son like that, though, isn't there?
But my question is, when you serve this, is it Is it so hot you like burn your arms on the pumpkin? Is it like fairly easy to like let it cool down and then scoop it out? Like, it just seems like it's a lot to navigate.
Well, usually because I like to stick with a smaller pumpkin. So if you have a nice big serving spoon, you can, I can get in there without burning myself. And okay. It's really easy. You can let it cool down a little bit.
So tip is have a shorter pumpkin and a bigger spoon. Okay. Got it.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I love this.
There were some years when my mom chose a huge pumpkin, and those were interesting. The bigger the pumpkin, the longer it'll take to cook. And also, they surprisingly have, it doesn't look like that there's all that much flesh to eat when you're like, this is a little pumpkin. Is there enough? There's plenty. There's lots. There's always more than you think there will be. Yeah.
Well, I want to encourage other listeners, if you have a family recipe that you can stump Jamie and I with for the holidays, definitely let us know. We'd like to hear about it. Claire, thank you for doing this. We really appreciate it. I'll put the recipe in the show notes. So
well,
if
you're
you
welcome.
You give it a try. It'll have all the how much of everything you need. And we'll put that in the show notes as well so that you can make it yourself. And you too can try pumpkin flesh for the first time cooked. Please tell me, somebody tell us that we're not the only ones in the world that have never tried this. There's got to be somebody else.
Well, it's not going to be our guest. Okay. So Claire is not the one we need to talk to. But Claire,
thanks,
you're awesome.
Claire.
Thank you for putting up with me. You're much respect. Much respect.
See what I have to go through all day, every day here, Claire. See what I have to put up with.
It makes great content, Glenn. It's great. And we love you both.
All right. Thanks, Claire.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horse keeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
That's the time of the week and or the month now that we ask our auditors what's going on in your life that you need to tell us about and share. It's your equestrian first world problem, because if you do have a horse problem, it is first world, because that's like the life we're living. So if you want to participate in this, you have to become an auditor. Glenn, how do they do that?
You just go to Horse Radio Net, the brand new horseradionetwork.com website, and scroll down a bit and you'll see an auditor banner, and you click on that and you too can join the fun for as little as $3 a month.
Well, I'm going to start with mine because yesterday was my birthday and my sweet son has a 3D printer. And so he printed me Falcor the Luck Dragon. And for those who don't know what Falcor the Luck Dragon is, he is the dragon in The Neverending Story. Glenn, have you ever seen The Neverending Story?
No. You already knew the answer to that, I think.
I mean, it's a movie from the 80s, Glenn. I thought maybe you would have seen it as a, you know, teenager, I guess.
Was there shooting in Clint Eastwood involved?
No.
No.
No, there's definitely not. But here's the problem with the first world problem. Very sweet that my son made that. But, you know, I'm walking around with this little Falcor the Luck Dragon. It's so cute. And I have these two girls that are staying in my house, Anna and Ella. And they're both Germany and Austria. And they've never seen The Neverending Story. And so what I did, I was like, well, obviously they wanted to know what the Luck Dragon was. And I was like, okay, I will play this movie for you, but you have to understand that it is going to scar you for life like it did me as a child. And so I'm just letting you, sure you want to see? Yes, yes, yes. They're like, oh my God, does a horse die? I'm like, I'm not talking to you about what's going to happen. Glenn, I texted you the photo from the movie. And so just so you know, there were three girls. Lucas was on the couch and he's just like laughing at me. Three girls on the couch sobbing. I've seen the movie 65 times. Why does it still affect me like that? Oh my God. I was bawling. You all know what time. Our text, please. Artax. Oh my God, I'm getting emotional again. Whew. So anyway, they watched the movie. So now they have seen what scarred me as a child. And yeah, so thanks for the present, Lucas. You ruined everybody's night. Okay, moving on to yours. Do you see the picture I texted you?
I did
you?
See the picture. I can guess what happens.
So Jennifer has to have seen this. Is she there? Ask her if she has seen the Neverending Story. Artax in the Swamps of Sadness. Okay. No, moving past that. Andrew says there are so... This is a problem for me right now, Andrew. Like, for real, I think I'm going to do something here soon. I can't take it. Andrew says there are so many really nice thoroughbreds getting listed right now for super cheap, but I don't need another horse. Dude, let's just realize we're marching towards death and both get one, like, as a team. Like, you get one, I get one, and then we'll share pictures. I did. I was at my birthday dinner last night. I was like, y'all, I'm getting that itch again. Like I did with Taco too. I was like, I'm getting an itch. I need something. The weather's so nice right now. Lori
It'll be fine
says,
after you've sobered up. You'll be fine.
Tomorrow I'll be sober. Lori says, I spent all my money at the Maryland 5-star with Linda, and now I have to go back to work so I can pay my credit card bills. That seems to...
They had great weather.
Yeah. I watched all weekend. I was glued to all the videos.
What a cross-country course. They really have stepped it up. It's becoming a really cool show.
And then Sydney, who was on our show, she did a course walk on her social media. What was her social media name? Bukipsies or something?
Yes, I don't know. Bukipsies or something like that. Yeah.
She went out and did a course walk, and it was awesome. And her fashion that she does things like that. Paige says, I really want to ride aside for our opening hunt, but I'm not skilled enough to ride in the second flight, which is the fast field. But the third flight is so boring, but my side saddle habit is so much prettier than my coat.
There's a first world problem.
That is so first world. That's like the epitome of an equestrian first world problem. Taylor says, I have my own farm. That's it. That's the problem.
Okay, she wins this week because we can all relate.
Yeah. Kelly said, oh, that's the one you read earlier about the first world coming to join up. Shelly says, I took my horse on a girls' trip to our first 100 pace in Vermont and survived, but now we're on our way back home and we still have to unpack and I'm so sore.
Oh, yeah, unpacking is the worst after a horse show especially.
We're going to hear from her daughter in just a minute, but Caitlin says Taco Tuesday and Charlie's first horse trial, spoiler alert, went great and they've caught the eventing bug. But now I'm going to need to stock up on mom juice for the nerves. That's wine, by the way, for anybody. Yeah. Tell me about it. It's what happens when I watch Taco Tuesday's videos. I'm just like, what's going to happen? Taylor says that Elena, her friend, she's like, yours is, I got a fancy new dressage bridle, but my horse is a baby and I can't use it yet. Oh, I can't wait to tack up Butters. Oh, I'm so excited. I get it. Jane says, I just bought an awesome new to me saddle and bridle. And then my horse colicked and had to have surgery, so I can't even use them for a few months. He's recovering and he's doing well, thank goodness. Yeah, that's tough. Geraldine said, I found a cute little Molly mule to be my Mustang's new best friend, but all the ground squirrels ate the wiring in my trailer and now I can't go pick her up.
Hey, I relate to that.
Yeah, you do. You had the squirrel.
They
squirrel
ate our
problems.
Gas tank of our truck. We had to have the entire gas tank replaced.
Oh, God, that sucks.
I can relate to that.
Mine is, I just have black, like I have been inundated with black widows. I can't touch anything.
Oh, I'll take our squirrels. Looking. Thank you very much. I think. Are they full size? Like,
they're ones? Like, they look, there's the size of grapes.
Ooh.
And then
they have a little red thing on their butt.
Yeah, you kick them over and you see the red. I mean, it's very clear what a black widow is. I've never really seen one up close, and I've had three this past week. One was in a blanket.
Oh,
one was in my automatic water.
To fumigate the place.
It's a barn.
I'd have them out to fumigate the barn. I'd have them out to fumigate everything.
I'm like, I can't touch anything.
I'd be closing the horses out for a day or two and bombing the place with those bombs.
Oh, my God. It's the worst. Oh, terrifying. Summer says, a company that I won't name. basically she was trying to buy a blanket and they didn't have the pattern that she wanted. And now she has to live with her horse's boring blanket.
That's first world problem right there.
Amanda, this is a common theme today. I spent all week at the Maryland Five Star, but it's over and I have to go back to my normal job. But I don't want to!
I wonder if attendance was up. It sounds like there were a lot of people there. And every year that rains pours there. Every year we ever went there, it poured. And apparently they had their first nice year. So good for them.
I mean, yeah, usually the Dewberry tent at the Maryland is full because everybody's like, yeah. This sucks.
And congratulations to Felix Zavog, who from Switzerland, who won it. He ended up winning it. He actually had an accident in August and was paralyzed in his right arm and went to intense physical therapy for a couple of months and then decided to come over here and do the five star. And now he's the first Swiss rider to ever win 2 5-stars. So,
and how about all them thoroughbreds kicking butt? Woo! Yeah, love it.
Thoroughbreds were well represented, and old Boyd came in third. So we were on the podium with the United States. And then Jennifer said, why can't we win our own events? So I looked it up, Jamie. 2 Americans have won 5 stars in the last 10 years. Do you know which 2?
Don't quiz me.
Okay.
Go.
Oh, yeah, you're hungover. Sorry. Philip Dutton won Maryland in 2021. That was the first running of Maryland. Ironically, he lives right up the road. And then Tammy Smith in 2023 won Kentucky. So, okay. Yeah. So there you go. 2 in the last 10 years of all 5 stars in the world.
If I had any mental capacity right now, I would have very clearly been able to name those names, but not today. Not today, Satan.
I'm sorry. I forgot I wasn't supposed to quiz you today. But
Two more. Hannah says, I have equestrian things to sell, breeches, sunshirt, and boots, but my house is too messy to take pictures. That's when you lay that ass out on
the driveway. That's exactly right.
And this one I had to include. This is Rachel. And remember, she has this nice, beautiful baby horse she's been showing Western.
Yeah, from Nevada. Yeah.
Yes. And so she said the show photographer got the best picture of my yearling and I at the show, and I bought it to frame, but I had to beg her to please Photoshop out his penis. I mean, it is hanging down and you want to put that on the wall. She said, these are things I never had to worry about with my mare. I mean, it is the most beautiful. And she posted it. It's the most beautiful picture. And there's just a big pink wiener hanging
out. All you see.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Thank God for Photoshop.
I know, right? And the problem is, like, I've taken so many great pictures of horses where their wiener isn't showing, except for there's a fence post in the background, which looks like a big wiener.
Butters must have been the hit the last 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh, he was so precious. So actually what's interesting, and I learned something, if you have a second for me to tell you this exciting thing. So the guys have to have a project. They have to do a project in the 2 weeks that they're there and like have a hypothesis and prove it or explore something. And Butters had a lot of problems with eating. So I'd bring him in to feed him. And he got to where he was like pawing violently and biting on the bucket or biting on the wall. And one of the guys who came is an animal behaviorist. And he's like, that it happens when the horses are weaned too early. Like, because remember, he was weaned at like 2.5 months.
Oh, yeah.
And so he hasn't really understood how to behave normally. And so what he does is he would like take a bite and push his nose up against something like they do when they're nursing.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so, yeah. So it was getting bad. Like, I'm like, he's going to start cribbing. Like he's going to become a cribber. So what they did was they took his food and moved it every single feeding, and they videoed how he would behave when he was eating. And they tried different kinds of buckets and different locations and really, really thorough. And oh my God, they fixed the problem.
Huh.
They solved the problem. They fed him a plastic feeder on fence posts, like hanging over it. And he immediately started biting on the fence post and looked like he was cribbing. And they were like, pull it, pull it, pull it. And they moved. They got a goat feeder and strapped that to the wall. They had the regular round feeder. Then they had this giant rubber tub, which he couldn't paw, but he also couldn't really eat it really good. And what they determined is I now feed him in the, he has a rubber bucket that is elevated by, remember those mud grids that I bought?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I had some extra ones and they propped up the feeder on the mud grid. So it's about 6 inches off the ground, right in the middle of the stall. And we feed him in this rubber bucket and it's silent and peaceful. And I'm so grateful that they solved this problem because I wouldn't have time for this crap. I'd just be like, stop pawing. And it's like a whole peaceful world. I did see that he's been on the digestive supplement for a month now.
Oh, yeah, for babies.
For babies, but also I think I determined that he needs a little bit more. And so I started him on Gastroguard and oh my gosh, I'm like, he's had 3 doses and he's a whole different horse. So I'm so pleased. And
in this case, it was ulcers. I'm just joking.
I mean, it probably is. He needs some turmeric or something. I don't know. But I will also, a side note, I mentioned Carl earlier, and I wanted to tell you about Craigslist Carl, because I had one of the thoroughbreds that came from Horse and Hound kick the other thoroughbred from Horse and Hound and needed a drain put in, like this whole veterinary fun that happened. So I was down a horse. And so I was like, put me in, coach. Come on, Carl. So Carl did his first ever join up. And I haven't put him in the round pen because like, why? He's like 20.
Yeah, he was already trained. Yeah.
He doesn't need to do anything but walk around. So I had to use him for long lining. Let me tell you, that was not easy because he is 20 years old and it's only ever neck reined. And I go to long line him and turn him. And first of all, he doesn't want to go. And then you're like, why are you pulling my face to the side? You can't neck rein when you long line.
No, it's kind of tough.
It was hilarious, and Carl learned how to longline in his 3 sessions that he had, and it was so funny because I've got some like kind of hot thoroughbreds that are in this group, and then I've got Azima, and everybody would be like, I'd have to write their name on the board and the horse that they got that day, and they'd be like, not Carl, not Carl, not Carl, not Carl.
That's funny.
Like, yeah, Carl today. No. But he challenged everybody and it was a good learning experience. And Carl now kind of knows how to longline in case he ever needs that skill, which he'll never, ever need.
Craigslist Carl certainly has come in handy.
I mean, he's just,
I'm trying to
lovely.
Remember if you were drunk when you bought him or not.
I was not.
Okay, just
I
checking.
Was not.
I just couldn't remember.
I don't think I was. I think it was like a Sunday morning. So now I should be good. I'm in the clear.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'll be back here tomorrow. We have the quarter horse episode, and then Jamie and I'll be back for some weird news. You must have stacked up weird news stories. You must have 100 of them.
Oh, God. I got like pages to go through.
Yeah. So we'll have a full week of shows for you. So look forward to that. Auditors, hang on. We're going to be talking to Charlie about her first horse trials on Taco Tuesday. And I've just been informed by her mom, Jamie, that she didn't tell Charlie who's calling. Just somebody's calling to talk to her about Taco Tuesday. So it's going to be a surprise for her. Okay. So we'll do that in the post show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.